Coming to you live from the international headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff. Our ministry exists to provide answers to you, to give proof of Jesus Christ as our hope of eternal life, because truth matters. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Until quite recently, skeptics viewed the existence of the pools depicted in John's Gospel to be little more than a religious conceit, a predilection on the part of Christians to believe what they believe or think is true solely because they think it's true. In other words, only fools believed in John's pools. All of that changed June 2004. That's not all that long ago. Workers in the old city of Jerusalem unearthed the place where Jesus cured the man born blind. And therefore, today, you can step into the very pool of Siloam in which the blind man washed and came back seeing. Not only that, you can rest your arms on the guardrail overlooking the excavated ruins of the Pool of Bethesda. This was where Jesus cared for the physical and the spiritual needs of a man who had suffered the ravages of sin for 38 years. And you can stand amazed that what was once secreted in soil accurately reflects that which is sealed in Scripture. This is one more reason that we can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Bible is a reliable, a trustworthy authority that you can bank your eternal destiny on. And again, I bring that up as just one more example of why it is so important for us who have been given all this evidence to be able to demonstrate to a world awash in political correctness, post-Christian ideologies, pluralism, relativism. You can demonstrate to them that there is objective truth. When we say that Jesus Christ is God, this is not just a faith that is blind, speaking out to a watching world. No, this is a faith that is informed by fact. And because we have the facts, we should know the facts, and that is why I've presented them to you in a memorable format. The new flip chart available for your gift, its maps, memorable keys to the Bible's divine inspiration. As mentioned, you can master the proofs for the divine inspiration of the Bible in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. This is a memorable defense of the most significant literary work in the history of humanity, and it is proof positive that the Bible, not the Book of Mormon, not the Quran, not any other religious writing, is indeed the authority. Again, the flip chart available all this month for your gift. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to our resource consultants. They're standing by, the number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. First up today, Jesse in Jordanton, Texas. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I had a question for you. I just started listening to you, and I kind of amazed, you know, of what the things that you've known and stuff like that. But anyhow, my question was, as far as baptism goes, and I'm pretty sure you probably have heard it, but my question to you is today is, what baptism do you believe is the correct baptism and why? as far as, I mean, as far as immersion, as far as being born again, and, you know, what would be your...
Well, baptism doesn't save you from a biblical perspective. Baptism sets you apart. So those who are saved are baptized, in other words, set apart. They are saying to a watching world, I'm no longer my own. I've been bought by a price. I am taking up my cross. I'm daily following Jesus Christ. And I am saying overtly that it is not Caesar who is Lord, it is Christ who is Lord. And I am following him not only in time, but I am going to be related to him in eternity. So again, you're saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone, but you are set apart as a follower of Jesus Christ by baptism.
Okay, but I'm saying as far as, you know, when Jesus said, go you therefore baptizing, you know, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, you know.
Yeah, what's important is that when a police officer commands someone to stop in the name of the law, the power is not in the phrase itself, but in the authority it signifies. Maybe by way of analogy, if a physician provides someone who is sick with a prescription, their trust is not in the paper on which that prescription is penned, but their faith is in the potion to which that prescription points. And that's the same way it is with baptism. The power is not in a prescribed formula, but it is in the heavenly physician to whom the act of baptism actually points. So baptism is not essential for salvation. It is, however, essential to obedience. Now, there are those in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, for example, that say that you have to be baptized by a particular formula. But this is a classic example of error begetting error. The belief that one must be baptized only in the name of Jesus led Oneness Pentecostalism to the further error that Jesus is himself the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they don't hold to one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, but to three manifestations of one God revealed in Jesus. And according to Oneness, therefore, the doctrine of the Trinity is pagan polytheistic philosophy. So here's the problem. You have one error being compounded by logical extension into a far greater error.
Okay. I don't know. I strongly believe, Hank, because when the new church started, I mean, the apostles were, you know, even Peter had baptized 3,000, and they kept on, and even Paul, almost Saul, who later became Paul, he was like, hey, have you ever received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They're like, no. I said, well, what baptism have you been baptized under? They're like, well, we've been in John's baptism. I said, yeah, but John, you know, said that you should be, you know, baptized with the Holy Ghost with fire, which is in the name of Jesus, but all I'm saying, they did all of that, you know, as far as all that baptism, and they, you know, they baptized all this, you know, which was, you know, like Acts 2:42, you know, that they were in the apostles' doctrine, you know, they kept steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. But I guess I strongly believe in that because...
But what is that doctrine? I mean, and that's the issue as far as I'm concerned, Jesse. The question is, what is that doctrine? If you're baptized in the name of Jesus, you are being baptized on the basis of your belief in his death, burial, and resurrection. So it's not the formula. It is what it points to, and that is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again, thus demonstrating that he was Lord of all. So again, it's not the formula. It is indeed that which the formula points to, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I just, you know, it's just, how do you say it? It's just the way the apostles took it. You know what I mean? I mean, even like when they said, brethren, well, what must we do then after we did this to Jesus, you know? After we crucified him, what must we do, you know? And, of course, you know, Acts 2:38, what it says, you know, I'm just like, you know, like they said, look, you need to repent, you know? And you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you know, for the remissions of your sins.
Right,
you know?
And that's precisely correct. I mean, that's precisely what happened in a first century context. Here, Peter, without a megaphone, preaches the gospel and 3,000 people stampede their way to Calvary. But what does the text actually tell you? The text tells you in the passage that you noted that Peter is very clearly saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But what happened? Those who accepted his message, which is his message of recognizing that you're a sinner, repenting of your sin and receiving Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Now, it is the message that they believed, and they were baptized in response to that message. So again, it isn't baptism that saves, it is baptism by which you are declaring to the world that you're no longer your own, you have been bought with a price.
Right. All right, I get you.
Well, good discussion.
Well, I appreciate it, Hank. I just...
I appreciate your passion.
I just, you know, like I said, you know, I strongly believe. You know, I guess to me it's all about Jesus. You know, everything you do in word or deed, do it all in the name, you know.
Amen.
Yeah, I guess I just love him so much. Anything I want to do, you know, I'm going to do in his name. You know what I mean? But I appreciate you for just hearing me out today.
Well, great call. Thanks for calling in. Good talking to you, Jesse.
You too. Thank you.
Bye. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Frankie in Orlando, Florida, listening on WZNZ. Hi, Frankie.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I've got a question in regards to, I came out of Catholicism and basically lived there in the Carolinas and Charlotte Inn and Greenville. But and recently, when I got saved in 92, you know, I mean, my walk's not as probably as well as it should be, but, you know, people there in the area have said be about Calvinism and with the Baptists and the I don't understand the fact of the Reformed and the Calvinistic and what the Baptists believe or about being saved, I guess.
Well, there are some Reformed Baptists, so they would hold a Calvinistic view in terms of their salvation. And the basic idea of Calvinism is communicated in an acronym. That acronym is known as TULIP.
Okay.
One of the reasons is that Holland is one of the lands of the Reformation. I actually was born there. But TULIP actually codifies what Calvinists teach. First of all, the T represents total depravity. And the basic idea there is that man is dead in trespasses and sin, and therefore must receive a new nature in order to believe. Now, the idea is that unless you are regenerated, you cannot respond to the gospel, and God only regenerates those who are the elect. Those who are not elect cannot respond to the gospel because they simply don't have ears to hear. So that's the Calvinist idea of total depravity. The U represents unconditional election, and that is the notion that God chooses based on his own purpose and for his own pleasure and predilection. And again, God chooses only the elect. All others are doomed from the womb to certain destruction, as Calvin himself put it. The L represents limited atonement, and that is the
Are we saved, Hank? Then I mean, once you're saved, does that not mean that we're saved? I mean, because there a couple of the pastors there have said, you know, that you're truly not they don't believe in losing your salvation. They believe that it's you're chosen by God, and specifically this one pastor and. It confused me.
Yeah, that's actually the P in the TULIP. It's the perseverance of the saints. And so you cannot choose to be saved, nor can you choose to be damned. You are chosen by God before the foundations of the world in that particular system. But again, not all Christians hold to that. That is a view within the bounds of orthodoxy, but it's not the only view. There are many other views that are held. So you can simply put it this way. There are Calvinist views and non-Calvinist views, and many Christians hold to non-Calvinist views. They do believe, for example, that you are dead in trespasses and sin, but you can receive Jesus Christ. In other words, that you can respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. The bottom line is this, though, in terms of salvation. If you realize that you're a sinner, if you repent of your sin, which is a U-turn on the road of life, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then you are His and He is yours. And the very one who justifies you will also sanctify you, which is to say, He will daily conform you to His image until that day that you're glorified, and then you'll be in practice what you are now only in position. Bottom line again, realize you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ, and you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that He is yours and you are His, not only for time, but also for eternity. Be right back with more answers.
The things we accumulate over our lifetimes, money, personal possessions, and property, are simply gifts from God, entrusted to us to manage as His servants. When we as Christians create a will or trust, what we're really doing is planning to transfer stewardship of what God has entrusted us to others. For many of us, this may be one of the most important acts of stewardship we will ever undertake. We have made special arrangements for you to explore this stewardship responsibility. Visit our website at equiplegacy.org/EPO. There you will find the estate plan organizer. To learn more, go to equiplegacy.org/EPO. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return after this. Attacks against the Bible's authenticity are everywhere in today's culture. So take the key proofs of scriptural authority with you wherever you go. Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Maps, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, condenses the proof points from his landmark book, Has God Spoken?, in a convenient pocket size, printed on heavy laminated paper for years of use. Good for refreshing your own memory or sharing with skeptics and seekers, the flip chart is our gift to you when you support the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. The Christian Research Institute's vital outreach is entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you, so your gift helps bring you more of the answers you need. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org today to give and request your copy of MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Butterflies are one of God's most amazing creations. Their wonder and mystery has captivated children and scientists alike. With their superbly engineered bodies, compound eyes made of thousands of individual lenses, wings covered with microscopic solar panels, as well as a navigational system, how could these extraordinary creatures come into being by blind, undirected processes? Metamorphosis, The Beauty and Design of Butterflies, an exciting documentary DVD from Illustra Media, explores their world like never before. Metamorphosis combines spectacular photography with advanced computer animation to not only give you insights into the wonders of nature, but see it filled with purpose that can only come from an intelligent designer. Order Metamorphosis on DVD by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Should Christians attend same-sex weddings? Would saying yes signal an endorsement? Would saying no signal a lack of commitment to the loved one? There are no easy answers. Other topics include confronting the apologetic challenges of a secular culture, reflections on the girl with the dragon tattoo, sci-fi, free will, and the problem of evil, Muhammad and the Messiah, comparing the central figures of Islam and Christianity, what has poetry to do with evangelism, robbing Paul to pay Peter and James, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Our challenge as Christians is to use what God has revealed to build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering darkness. But we can't do that unless we truly believe God has revealed His will in His Word. Let us help with Hank's new flip chart, MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, putting the reasons you can trust the Bible right at your fingertips. We'll send you a copy for your support gift today. Please call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now here's Hank Hanegraaff with more of the answers you need today.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to the phone callers. Next up is Cindy listening in Memphis, Tennessee, listening on WCRV. Hi, Cindy.
Oh, Hank, I just have one quick question. Do all Pentecostals believe in one, or is there a variation in beliefs regarding the Trinity?
Yeah, well, what's interesting about this is that the Assemblies of God denomination was the first to actually call out Oneness Pentecostalism as a heresy. And that should answer the question, which is to say not all Pentecostals, and the Assemblies of God, of course, are Pentecostal, believe in the Oneness doctrine. In fact, most Pentecostals will say that the Oneness doctrine is a heresy.
Okay. That's what I want to know. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines and talk to James in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, James.
Hi, Hank. I love your program. I have a question about the World Mission Society Church of God. A few friends and I ran into a multiple World Mission Society members, and they've really challenged us, but not really made us waver in faith, but we really want to be able to encourage our other church members who've run into them. A lot of people in our church have run into them recently. It seems like they're very evangelical. So we really want to be able to encourage our church members. So do you have any resources, or do you have any...
Yeah, we actually do. Not only on the World Mission Society Church of God, but also on... Ann Sung Hong, who was baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 1948 and then broke away from Seventh-day Adventism and started this cult of Christianity. This is an insidious cult in which the belief is that salvation is only given through the name of Christ, but it's not just Jesus Christ, it's Christ Ann Sung Hong. And only those who are witnesses of Him and pray in His name will be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. And they believe that He was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, that salvation in this epoch of time can only be found in Him. And on top of that, they have a whole pile of legalistic prescriptions. So we did do a fact sheet at the Christian Research Institute warning about this cult of Christianity.
Oh, okay. We've noticed that. We spent probably 2 hours talking with them one night. And it seems like they try to get us to agree with what they're saying, and they kind of walk us through a lot of things that we already know. We read our Bibles on a regular basis. I've read your book, Has God Spoken? And we definitely like to look into apologetics, and they're very, we thought they were very deceptive, and they hid what they were their real agenda. And that was one of the things that really worried us about these people. And we've seen them multiple times out sharing their false teachings. So I just really wanted to get a little bit of background on that. I understood about Ann Sung Hong. Is that right? Ann Sung Hong?
Yes.
Is that correct? And so we ran into the thing about Passover. Can you give me a little bit more insight about the Passover and Sabbath?
Yeah, probably what would be best for you is just, do you want me, just in general or their views?
Their views.
Yeah, what would be best?
I understand what evangelicals believe.
Yeah. What would be best is if I sent you the fact sheet that we prepared.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, if you hang on, I can get that out to you.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for calling. Hang on, we will put that information into your hands. And of course, this gives me an opportunity not only to remind people that Monday through Friday at this time, their questions are answered, as I'm answering questions live on air right now when they dial 888-ASK-HANK. But this is a ministry made possible by listeners just like you, which is to say we can only do what we do because people stand with us prayerfully and financially. I've mentioned this before. The gospel is free, but someone has to put in the plumbing, which is to say that there is no charge for the gospel, but it is expensive to communicate what we're communicating on the public airways. It costs resources, and without you, those resources simply are not available. So we ask those who love this program and recognize that this is a God-ordained broadcast and ministry for just such a time as this, to stand with us not only prayerfully, but to stand with us financially. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also give in a safe way, obviously, through the mail. You can send your checks to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can pick up a telephone and talk to one of our resource consultants. That number, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. So there are different ways of contacting us. The most effective, efficient way is through the web at equip.org. That's the most immediate way. And when you give on the World Wide Web, you can go to equip.org/donate, and you can become a member of the Bible Answer Man support team there, which is to say not only give once, but give in a continuous, ongoing fashion. Simply fill out the online form and join other brothers and sisters as monthly supporters of the Christian Research Institute and its many outreaches, including the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which you're listening to right now. Also, for those who give a gift of $100 or more, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, or, if you will, the Creation Answer Book, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. And, of course, when you join the Bible Answer Man support team, I do the exact same thing. I personalize one of those two books as my way of saying thank you for joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. So, again, many ways in which you can support this ministry. Some people, obviously, could give $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 or more. And we do need some people that have some of the Lord's resources to step up to the plate, make a difference now. It's important in that we are definitely behind right now and need to catch up. So please, if the Lord moves upon your heart, be generous and give either using the World Wide Web at equip.org or via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or via the phone, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. If you didn't get all that information, keep listening. We'll be giving that information out again before the end of the broadcast. Want to go back to the phone lines now? We'll talk to Mike in Arkansas. Mike is listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Hank. It's great to talk to you. I'm a new listener. Because of my schedule, I just get bits and pieces of the programs, but it's enough that draws, as soon as I get in the car, I turn you on to listen. So I really appreciate the opportunity. The reason that I called is I've been out of church for some years, and I didn't want to go into all the details, but I've moved to a new area, and I feel that the Lord's called me to get involved in the church locally. And you mentioned something, I think it was last week, about Reformation in the pew, or something to that effect. But listening yesterday to some of the callers that mentioned, pastors using astrology, et cetera, et cetera, quite frankly, it's a little scary. And I did ask for your free booklet about, how to choose a good, solid Bible-based church, and that's been helpful. But I just wanted to see what the Reformation, if you what that looked like, and for someone like me in my situation, how you might how does that work together? At this point, it's just I just have to trust God and move forward, and I want to see if you have anything to add to that, if that all makes sense.
Yeah, I think what you've done already in terms of getting the information on how to find a healthy, well-balanced church is what's most significant. When I'm talking about Reformation in the pew, I'm using that as a way of speaking about the only way that we can change the culture or see revival in the culture is if, first of all, the church gets back to doing what the church is called to do. The church is called to be salt and light in this world. It's called to be a light, not a light hid under a bushel, but a light that's on its stand that gives light to a dark world. We're also called to be salt and light, but if the salt loses its saltiness, said Jesus, how can it be made salty again? So if the church is not a leavening force in the culture, then the culture will devolve. So again, what I think so often people look for is reformation in the culture, but that only happens when reformation starts in the pew, when people who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips do what they're called to do as followers of Jesus Christ. So that's actually what I'm talking about when I talk about reformation in the pew.
Okay, that is very helpful, Hank. And as far as how does that, what I know the fundamentals, I guess I need to look for in the shepherd, or good shepherd in the local church. So that's just kind of something that sounds like I'm just going to have to go and sit and listen and pray and ask God to guide then and do my part. And over the years, I haven't been just dormant. I do my own study. I read the Bible all the time. I want to learn. I read what's in there. It's exciting, and I want to be a part of that. And I'd like to be involved in ministries that are doing that, you know, that level of Book of Acts type thing.
You know what would be helpful? I was just thinking as I was listening to you, it might be helpful for you to get a flip chart that I put together called Doctrine. And what that gives you is the essentials of the historic Christian faith. These are the main and the plain things. And healthy, well-balanced churches make them the main and the plain things, from the deity of Jesus Christ to the certainty that he will return again. And when he does, he will put all things to right. So that might be a very helpful resource, because there certainly are a lot of churches that deny essential Christian doctrine, even mainstream Protestant churches. Sometimes they're known as mainline Protestant churches. They deny the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, or they deny the supernatural incarnation of Jesus Christ. So they, in essence, demythologize the Bible. They take all the miracles out of the Bible because they've bought into philosophical naturalism that everything has to be explained through purely natural processes. So I think that might be a very helpful resource so that you're certain that you're in a church that embraces the main and the plain things.
Hank, that's great. I appreciate it. Would you say the name one more time? I'm driving and talking, and I want to make sure I get that, just the flip chart itself.
Yeah, it's a flip chart, and the flip chart is called Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine.
Okay, great. I've got it. Hank, it's been great talking to you, and like I say, I'm a new listener, and I really look forward to the drive home now, and so please keep up what you're doing. And this is the first time I've ever, in the last several weeks, heard of you and what you do, so I'm really excited about participating.
Well, bless you, Mike. Thank you so much for calling. I look forward to getting that flip chart out to you. I think it'd be very helpful.
God bless. Thank you, Hank.
God bless you. Safe travels, and we'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. By the way, I mentioned equip.org. You can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, and we have a special offer now. You can on the web, go to the special offer code TRUTH and subscribe online. You get a one-year subscription, plus you get an extra issue for the price of $35. Check it out on the web.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We'll be back live in just a few moments. Here's Hank again with a special offer.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. Also included is the entire two-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text, verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
We'll return with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast after this. Attacks against the Bible's authenticity are everywhere in today's culture. So take the key proofs of scriptural authority with you wherever you go. Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Maps, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, condenses the proof points from his landmark book, Has God Spoken? In a convenient pocket size, printed on heavy laminated paper for years of use. Good for refreshing your own memory or sharing with skeptics and seekers, the flip chart is our gift to you when you support the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. The Christian Research Institute's vital outreach is entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you, so your gift helps bring you more of the answers you need. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org today to give and request your copy of MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The greatest apologetic for Christianity is its founder. All that the Lord Jesus was, said, and did. A natural avenue for Christian apologetics to Muslims, then, is to contrast the words and works of Jesus and Muhammad. Other topics include, did Daniel accurately predict a succession of nations? Sci-fi, free will, and the problem of evil. What has poetry to do with evangelism? A summary critique, Lawrence M. Krauss's A Universe from Nothing, Arthur Goldwag's The New Hate, John Gribben's Alone in the Universe, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org.
Butterflies are one of God's most amazing creations. Their wonder and mystery has captivated children and scientists alike. With their superbly engineered bodies, compound eyes made of thousands of individual lenses, wings covered with microscopic solar panels, as well as a navigational system, how could these extraordinary creatures come into being by blind, undirected processes? Metamorphosis, The Beauty and Design of Butterflies, an exciting documentary DVD from Illustra Media, explores their world like never before. Metamorphosis combines spectacular photography with advanced computer animation to not only give you insights into the wonders of nature, but see it filled with purpose that can only come from an intelligent designer. Order Metamorphosis on DVD by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Without the assurance that God has spoken to us through His Word, Christianity would have no more authority for faith and practice than does Islam, Mormonism, or a host of other misguided movements. Now, you can have the most important proofs of the Bible's truth always handy with Hank's new flip chart, Maps, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. We'll send you the flip chart in appreciation for your gift today to support more Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Thank you. Here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to the phone calls. We'll talk to Mason next in Tampa, Florida, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mason.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm well, thank you.
Great. Hey, your earlier caller that was, you were speaking of Calvinism with that caller. You said something interesting where you said that you have non-Calvinists and Calvinists, and the non-Calvinists believe that you can respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. But wouldn't that be the same that response to the wooing, which the Holy Spirit has taken the initial action of wooing you, wouldn't that be the same as regeneration? That's question one. Question two is, what do you make of John 3 with the exchange Jesus had with Nicodemus, explaining the salvation, the salvific process, I think. And also Jesus stating that no man can come to me unless the Father draws him. And also he said that all that the Father has given to me will come to me.
Yeah, and I have no difficulty with any of those passages whatsoever. The thing that I was communicating is that non-Calvinists, while there are various structures, do not believe that regeneration precedes faith. So, for example, when you look at John chapter 1, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, or the right to be regenerated. Which is to say that the Calvinist says that there are certain people who are elect, and there are certain people who are doomed from the womb to certain destruction. So you're either in one of those castes or the other, and you can't go from one to the other. So the basic idea is that God creates everyone in such a way that they cannot respond to the gospel. That's everyone. But then God regenerates the elect. And because they're regenerate, they now have ears to hear, and therefore they are able to respond to irresistible grace. The non-Calvinist says, no, you can respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. And when you respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, you can become regenerated. Now, you can also reject the wooing of the Holy Spirit. So those are the two systems. Both systems are acceptable within the pale of orthodoxy. But when I say there's Calvinist and non-Calvinist positions, I'm only underscoring the fact that there are nuanced replies within the stream of non-Calvinist positions, such that, for example, when the word election is used, there are many Christians that see that word being ascribed singular to Jesus Christ, in that Christ is the elect one, very much like what Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 3, that Jesus Christ is the royal seed of Abraham, and that all those, therefore, that are in Jesus Christ are heirs according to the promise. So he is the elect one, we are elect, by virtue of being in Jesus Christ. So those are some of the distinctions between the Calvinist position and the various non-Calvinist positions, and that's just what I was underscoring.
Okay, and the election. What about the election in Romans 9, where Paul's hearers raise these objections, and that's why he kind of praises in a question, you know, would you say there's unrighteousness with God, you know, and people are saying this is unfair, you know, and the vessels of honor versus the vessels of wrath, and the Esau and Jacob choosing.
Yeah, and this is why it's very important, particularly when you read the Apostle Paul, to make certain that you have a working knowledge of the Old Testament, because Paul is quoting, of course, from passages like Isaiah chapter 29 and Jeremiah chapter 18. And if you're not familiar with those passages, you can easily come to a wrong conclusion in terms of not only what Paul is communicating, but the question that he is addressing. The Calvinist thinks that the question that is being answered is, why do some believe, in other words, the Gentiles, and why do some, the Jews, not believe? And if you read Romans chapter 9 this way, you will come up with hard determinism. Right or wrong, that's what you're going to come up with. Or if you read the question differently, why are some experiencing judgment and damnation while others, the Gentiles, are experiencing salvation and blessing? The answer given by Paul here is that the saved pursued salvation not by works, but rather by faith, and therefore the same stone that caused Zion or Israel to stumble is the source of security for those who believe. And Paul, again, is blending a number of texts in order to make his point, texts that come from the Old Testament to underscore that the Lord is either the cornerstone of our life or the capstone over which we fall. But if you go back one chapter to Romans chapter 8, you see very clearly there that God calls and human beings must respond to that call. So as Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8:24, we must love him. The Calvinist does not accept that reasoning. And that's why this is a healthy debate within the body of Christ, something we can debate vigorously. We ultimately have to say this is not a main and plain thing. It's a very important thing, but it's not a deal breaker in terms of those who are saved and those who are not saved.
Correct. I agree. But you know, in the Word of God, I see both where there is a human responsibility to seek after Christ and cling to the cross, and then I see another side where there is God's choosing. So it's like a both and, you know?
Yeah, well, there's a reason that this is a difficult issue. And again, I think that in some, it is the difference between circumstantial freedom or compatibilistic freedom and libertarian freedom. I mean, at the base, that's what's going on. The circumstantial or compatibilistic view that the Calvinist holds to is to say that just as cows can't fly, so those who are not regenerated first can't respond. And the person that holds the libertarian freedom position says, no, we are justly and condignly condemned because we don't respond to what could have been ours, which is the grace of God that passes all understanding. So we have the ability to act or to act otherwise. You know, obviously, I have, as people that listen to this broadcast know, great respect for Calvinist theologians. In fact, my dad was one, and I grew up in a Calvinist home and context. And quite frankly, this issue is what drove me away from the faith for many, many years. I mean, this was the systemic issue. I just could not grapple with the notion that God creates people who are doomed from the womb to certain destruction. And therefore, there was a caste system, and if you were not in the proper caste, you could never rise to that caste. And that was something that was a horrendous idea from my perspective. I couldn't grapple with it. I couldn't grasp it. I argued with my father about it for years and years, and I thought, my goodness, if that is the God of Christianity, I don't want any part of him. Now, I certainly have modified that view greatly, and I don't hold to that view anymore. But that was the view that I actually held, and it was a view that gave me a great deal of difficulty and angst with respect to what I thought was a monolithic view among Christians at that point or stage in my life.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, and also the scripture you just quoted in John 1, where he gave the power for them to receive. And you go down further, it says that not by blood, nor by the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So it's not by our own will that we come to Christ. In that scripture, it seems to mark out every area that you could assert your will.
Well, again, though, I don't think that Paul is schizophrenic, and if you read the entirety of the book of Romans, and I think this was important, I don't think, and unfortunately a lot of people do this, I don't think that we should truncate the message. We should read all of the message, because otherwise it's like reading part of a letter here and part. And Paul is making a very sophisticated, sustained argument. And to get what he's driving at in the book of Romans requires two things. One is carefully reading the tome. It is quite a tome. Secondly, I think it requires having a working knowledge of the Old Testament. And again, the reason I say this is, for example, if you look at the potter and the clay, The impression you get if you're just reading Romans chapter 9 is that God is saying, I can do anything I want. I'm the potter, you're the clay. Well, if you read the context or what Paul is drawing from in the Old Testament, nothing could be farther from the truth. I mean, the Old Testament makes very clear that vessels are made for noble purposes because they respond in obedience, and ignoble purposes because they respond in disobedience. Not only that, but we have to recognize that God cannot do everything. God cannot act in accord with sin. God cannot defy logic. God cannot make a one-sided triangle. He can't make a squared circle. God can only act in accord with his nature. And his nature is one of not only love, but also of infinite justice. So again, these are the issues that we have to grapple with. They're significant. They're important. I don't want to minimize them even in the least, nor do I want to unfairly or incorrectly caricature Calvinism. I grew up within that system, and again, I have great respect, certainly for my father, who was a very able theologian, but many others who have had a great impact on my life, like R.C. Sproul. So I continue to learn from these great men of God. My dad has now gone on to be with the Lord, but certainly from people like R.C. Sproul, either personally or just by listening to him, and have the highest regard for them. But again, I ultimately say the Word of God, just as you're pointing out, is the final court of arbitration. We test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. And again, the reason there are systems of theology here is that it takes some explaining. It takes some understanding. It takes some digging. And some people simply embrace a paradigm, and then they see the Bible through the lens of that paradigm, as opposed to maybe questioning the presuppositions in light of really reading and grappling with the biblical text.
Gotcha.
Got to leave it at all that, right, well, but a good discussion, and I hold out the right to be wrong.
Okay, thank you,
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. And by the way, I don't say that in a cavalier fashion, because I take the responsibility I have on the Bible Instrument broadcast very, very seriously, having recognized over the years that people make life decisions on the basis of a throwaway statement on my part. It wasn't even the main thing. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Instrument broadcast. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow right here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources and information to help sharpen your discernment skills. Not only do we provide books, videos, and informative articles, but you can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived shows, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also sign up for our weekly e-newsletter and receive special benefits. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Attacks against the Bible's authenticity are everywhere in today's culture. So take the key proofs of scriptural authority with you wherever you go. Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Maps, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, condenses the proof points from his landmark book, Has God Spoken?, in a convenient pocket size, printed on heavy laminated paper for years of use. Good for refreshing your own memory or sharing with skeptics and seekers, the flip chart is our gift to you when you support the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. The Christian Research Institute's vital outreach is entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you, so your gift helps bring you more of the answers you need. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org today to give and request your copy of MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration.
Butterflies are one of God's most amazing creations. Their wonder and mystery has captivated children and scientists alike.
With their superbly engineered bodies, compound eyes made of thousands of individual lenses, wings covered with microscopic solar panels, as well as a navigational system, how could these extraordinary creatures come into being by blind, undirected processes? Metamorphosis, The Beauty and Design of Butterflies, an exciting documentary DVD from Illustra Media, explores their world like never before. Metamorphosis combines spectacular photography with advanced computer animation to not only give you insights into the wonders of nature, but see it filled with purpose that can only come from an intelligent designer. Order Metamorphosis on DVD by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.